Hello, my name is Jeff Parrish. I'm the senior pastor here at Indian Rocks, and I just want to say thank you to you for tuning in today through our live streaming through the internet for our services, and we are glad that you are watching. And I'm going to tell you about a couple of things that we have here at the church. We are very much a purpose-driven church. Why do we exist? The reason we exist is to make disciples, as the scriptures teach us. But we have a thing that's called C4, which lists out the different things that we want to do. C1 is connecting with God, which is part of what the reason that we do this live streaming is to give people the opportunity to find out what the scripture says and what it means to have a relationship with God. It's pretty incredible to think about the relationship, having a relationship with the God who created you. But the second purpose is a place for people to connect with each other. And I can't tell you how important that is, because it's more than just being educated in the scriptures. It's finding a place that you fit, that you connect. We have a lot of small groups and all kinds of different shapes and sizes that reach out to different ages and different stages of life. Now, I'd really encourage you to check into plugging into a small group, because you'll never feel apart until you find a place to fit in. So anyway, thank you for watching today, and I hope to see you soon.
By the way, it's good to see you. Happy New Year. And it's great to be back. And I had some time off and saw family and was in a much colder place, although it's a little cooler here. But I did look this morning at where I'm from, and it was 9 degrees. So that's in Tennessee. Imagine what it is on up further as you keep going up. But anyway, so but you know, I look again. It's new year, new looks, new thoughts. But I had a good time, and it was just really good to be back with you. Also, too, just to finish up on this thought, it's really important when you think about. When you think about a church and who God's called us to be, you know, the kind of the new wave today, and I don't really agree with it in church, is to just to go put a church somewhere, you know, and all you have is a service. And you know, and therefore you just focus on just doing the service and doing it as well as you can. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's incomplete. Because Christ, if you're a believer, Christ has called us to be, has caused us to be connected. It's called a family. It's called a body, really, is in the Bible. And you can't be a body if you're disconnected. And so that's the reason we do these small groups. It is by far one of the hardest things we do here. As your staff, okay, as your pastors, as your servants, whatever you want to call that, it's one of the hardest things to do because people are so busy. But I'm here to tell you, it's one of the most important things we do. Because you can stay at home and watch this, right? You can. Of course, there's a whole big difference between coming and staying at home. But you know what I'm saying? A big service like this, and I've tried to tell people. You know, we have our dinner with the pastor Tuesday. If you'd like to come, you're more than welcome. If you're a guest with us, but I'll tell them. They'll hear this again. I said, if all you ever come to is this time, is that this church by far is the most friendly church I have ever been a part of. There's just no doubt. Maybe it's because in Florida, maybe it's because here in Florida we're all from somewhere else, and so we kind of have to be friendly. I don't know what it is, but it's the most friendly church I've ever been a part of. But it will start to feel impersonal if all you ever do is come to a service, because all you ever see is the backs of people's heads, right? Except for the front row, all right? You know, but then what happens is when you get in a smaller group, it's where the connection begins. And so I just wanted to take a few minutes just share that with you, because if it's easy to just start services, you know, just do services over here, do services over here. That I can't tell you how easy that is, because you got technology that'll do it all for you. The hard part is to forming a cohesive body that can function so that God can use it. That's the hardest part, especially in a culture that's becoming more and more isolated, right? We don't even talk to one another, you know? And I can't tell you how important it is. I can't tell you how important it is to find a place to connect where you have to do life looking at someone else. as opposed to isolating yourself. So anyway, we're going to spend the first part of this year. A lot of new groups are starting, and want to give you that opportunity, especially those of you that kind of shy away from that. We've got some 70 plus when you put all groups together that you can be a part of. So if you go to one you don't like, you got 69 more you can give a shot, right? And so anyway, I wanted to tell you about that. I wanted to tell you how important that was. Because the more isolated folks get, the more struggles we're going to have, right? I think it makes sense. So anyway, I'm going to take a few minutes today about that. But today I want to start a new series, and it's just going to be for a few weeks. I was thinking about, okay, what am I going to do? Because, you know, you always are in trouble when I get time off, right? Because I'm real excited, and I'm going to try not to go over today. But I'm real excited about this piece called forgiveness. Or as you see on the front of the bulletin, it's just to forgive. What does that look like? It's multifaceted. We could go weeks and weeks and understand it. And I've learned that this idea, you can get the definition in about 30 seconds. But to catch the concept, it has to sink in. Like water going through a filter. And you get it a few drops at a time. To truly understand the concept of what I'm talking to. And I'm here to tell you this. There is no greater freedom than when someone can live in forgiveness. Let me tell you what I mean. Okay. First of all, there's understanding. This is a mouthful. There's understanding, accepting, and living in the freedom of God's forgiveness for you. Okay, that's a whole wing of what forgiveness is. Then there's forgiving others when they've wronged you. Okay, it sounds a lot easier than it really is. The harder that it is to you, the more chance you're probably doing it right. Just want you to think on that a second. And then there's your need, which is lost today. That is the need for you to go and seek forgiveness of those that you've wronged. And if you say, well, I haven't wronged anybody, that may be part of the struggle, right? And then there's this thought, okay? And then there's the facet of learning to forgive yourself. And the guilt we walk around with. And so when you mix all that together, I'm here to tell you, there is great freedom to be found personally. I'm talking about personal freedom. You live in a free country, but that doesn't mean everybody who lives in a free country is free. Freedom is an incredible thing. And so that's what I want to talk. It'll just take a few weeks here at the first of the year. But I believe at our Christmas Eve service, when we talked about being a light, I believe one of the greatest ways to be a light is to live in freedom. Because living in freedom is one of the greatest testimonies to who Christ is and what he came to do. In fact, one of the great ways that we're told that when the communists, you know, when the Iron Curtain fell and all of that stuff, was that people were seeing others who were living in freedom and longed for it themselves. So what are you talking about living? I'm talking about living in the freedom that's in here. And there's nothing quite, it's not the only thing, but it's huge. So much struggles, internal struggles that people have come from this thought that I'm talking about. It's like somebody came up to me and said, made the statement, you know, Jeff, I don't have problems forgiving others. I have problems forgiving myself. I've found that people fit into usually one of the two categories, but it's rare that you're in both. Usually the struggle is one of the two. And both are just as destructive as the other one. Therefore, this, the inability to forgive others, or it's the inability to forgive myself. And either one, it can be just as tough on you. And so when we take a look at this, because it's a powerful concept because of its freedom. Now, yes, we understand the concept of who Christ is and what he came to do. I'm not really asking so much, do you understand Christ? If you're a believer here today, and I'm going to go on the assumption that you are a believer here today, and I know that we have a lot of people that probably are not. But what I want to talk to you about today is that the power to forgive will come from the fact that you have been forgiven. So as we walk through this, that's where the strength will come from. You'll see where it comes. And again, understanding who Christ is, what he came to do, was to bring forgiveness into a person's life. It was the reason that he came. You know, and as a believer, just because you are free doesn't mean that you're living that way. Or it doesn't mean that you're experiencing it. Here's what I mean. Hey, it's kind of like the dog that's chained in the yard out back, right? It's got a steak, and not like an eating steak, but a steak, right? And it's got a chain, and he's got this area that he can run in, and it's usually a circle, right? And out in your backyard, there's a big circle that has no grass on it, or at least a trail. And so he has that little circle, that's his domain. That's all I can do. Why? Because he is chained. Okay? Now, when you go out and liberate the dog, okay, and you take the chain off, and the dog never leaves the circle because it is so used to that circle. He is free, but he's not living free. Does that make sense? So when we talk about this subject, this may be one that's a real sensitive one for you. I already saw it last night as people began to chairman, but young, but Jeff, you don't understand. Oh, I do, but it's just a hard concept. But it is a freeing one. It doesn't feel right. Forgiveness does not feel right. And it never will feel right after it happens. But it's an incredible thing. It is incredible how it looses the one who's been wronged. I don't know how it is, what it is. But when we get this picture, and I'm just going to talk to you over the next few weeks, I want you to, my desire for you as a believer, first of all, if you're not a believer today, I'd like for you to know what that looks like. Because there is no experience like experiencing forgiveness from the God who created you. And that whole concept, we're going to talk about that, okay? But also, too, he's called you to now live in the freedom since he has bought it for you. And the way that comes is loosing people. And guys, I'm here to tell you, I just want you to kind of understand this morning why we're doing what we're doing. You know, there aren't many people that I read consistently, but I think there was one particular on this subject, but there was one particular person that I think I have read everything she has ever written. And her name, you may have never even heard of her, because as the years go by now, sometimes a younger generation doesn't get to hear some. But if you ever get a chance to read the writings of Corrie Ten Boom, okay? Corrie Ten Boom was yesteryear. She grew up, she was Dutch, and she grew up in Holland. And during the Nazi occupation, her family, her sister and her family, her mom and dad, they had a home, and they would hide Jewish people from being arrested and thrown into concentration camps. And in fact, her book, and I think there was even a movie made, even though it's long old, real, real old now, but it was called The Hiding Place. It is an absolutely amazing story. But Corrie Ten Boom said this, okay? And I want you to think about it. I want you to think about it as she said this. She said, forgiveness is the key, okay, that unlocks the door of resentment. And it's that they're the handcuffs, and it unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and shackles of selfishness. You read a quote, that's a good quote, but it's not overly memorable. Unless you know the story behind the person who said that. Does that make sense? This is why I like reading, because I'm figuring that if she learned this concept, then I can. Let me tell you a little bit about her story. I don't have much time. I just wanted to kind of introduce it. With the internet now, you can go home and read as much about her as you'd like to. But she is one of the true heroes of mine. You know, if you've been here very long, I don't say that much. But her family was caught. In fact, if you go to the Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, and I have, there's a courtyard out in the Holocaust Museum. It's called the Courtyard of the Righteous Gentiles. And they have trees for those who helped. Schindler, from Schindler's List, he has a tree out there. And Corrie ten Boom has one. Because of her story. Billy Graham, the reason her story got around was because Billy Graham picked up on her. But her family was caught hiding Jews, and her family was thrown into a concentration camp. All of her family died in the concentration camp. And she was put into a concentration camp with her sister, Betsy. And so she lived through the horrors of it all. And then when obviously she was liberated, she, being a believer, even though she'd been through all that she went through, she went back to Germany. It was one of the greatest things in the world. And she began to share the message of forgiveness. And she said one time as she was sharing the message, at the back of the room, she looked at him, at a man who walked in, and it was the guard from the concentration camp. I mean, if you know the story, her sister was basically beaten to death and starved and died. And obviously her family and other places were that way. And she looked at him, and she said a whole rush of feelings. I just want to read just a little bit to you. I don't like reading to you because I don't like being read to, right? But I just want to read just a little bit, because when you hear when she said forgiveness, it is the very thing that takes the shackles of bitterness and resentment off of you. She knows what she's talking about, right? She's earned the right to talk to you about the impact forgiveness can make. And so she sees this guy, and it hits her like a ton of bricks. She goes on to recall the as she says, she's sitting there, and she's doing her talk, right, on forgiveness in Germany, in Munich, and she sees the guard walk into her concentration camp, and she says this flood of emotion comes back into her, and she remembers his brutality. She remembers her and her sister having to walk past him, you know, naked with no clothes on, and the shame that went with it. And the laughing and the joking and just the sheer utter terribleness, if I could just put it that way. She said it all came crushing back on her at once. And she was faced with a struggle. And I am minimizing this so much. So if you'd like to read it, you're more than welcome to. But I want you to hear just her thoughts at the time. She says, it was in a church in Munich that I saw him, a balding, heavyset man in a gray overcoat, and knew that it was him. I was there in 1947 sharing messages with my captors that God can forgive. And then I'm going to have to skip on down. And basically says, and now he's in front of me. This is the very man that obviously was part of murdering my sister. And he came and he said to her, that was a fine message, how good it is to know that our sins can be to the bottom of the sea. Can you imagine somebody saying like that to you? And I, this is her talking, who'd spoken so glibly of forgiveness, all right, fumbled in my pockets rather than take his hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among the thousands of women? But I remembered him. And since my release, that I have been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood just froze. He goes on to tell me that he was a guard. And I then remembered that he did not remember me, or then thought that he did not remember me. But since the time, this is the man talking, since the time I've become a Christian, and God has forgiven me of the cruel things that I did there. But I would like for you to hear it from my lips, Fraulein. And again, his hand came out and she said, will you forgive me? And I stood there, I whose sins had every day been to be forgiven and could not. Betsy, that's her sister, had died in that place. And could he erase her slow, terrible death simply just asking? I could not, it could not have been too many seconds that he stood there with his hand held out. But to me, it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing that I would ever have to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition. And that those who forgive, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. I knew it was not only a commandment of God, but also, but as a daily experience since the end of the war, I had had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. And those were those were able to forgive, their enemies were also able to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives. No matter what the physical scars, those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was a simple and as horrible as that. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can at least do that much. You supply the rest. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me, and I slid. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, with all my heart. And then she goes on, there's so much more to it. But there's this thought of, there's this particular thought then of, how in the world does that happen? Because when you think about looking at someone that caused such horror, and yet she made the statement, I've been around countless hundreds who remained invalids because they allowed bitterness to grow inside of themselves. That to me is one of the great illustrations, because this particular woman became an amazing person, but what she'd been through, you think it would have scarred and damaged her for the rest of her life. But the reason what she went through didn't was what she would call was the reason was because of forgiveness. You will never know the impact that unforgiveness has on you, because a lot of times we don't connect the dots. It leads to a whole, area, you know, of struggles that you have. We'll talk more about it next week. This week is mainly introductory. I just want you to know why I'm talking about it. Because we live in a culture that doesn't forgive. We live in a culture that celebrates revenge. Just go to the movies. I mean, how would you like to have one of those movies, you know, where it ends with the guy saying, I forgive you? Everybody walk out and talk about what a terrible movie we just watched, right? God, you want to see them get it in the end. It's who we are. And it destroys us, right? It's an incredible thing, okay? But I just want you to see it. So number one, all right? Let's just talk. Let me just go down these. This won't take as long. I just want you to see it. Because my bet is this is already making some of us uncomfortable. And I knew that was going to happen, because I'm treading on areas that you've kind of nursed. There are areas that you've kind of nursed, and it's like you can't step there. But if you can bear through the uncomfortableness, Freedom awaits. You already are free if you're His, but I'm here to tell you, He wants you to live that way. So number one, reasons why we don't forgive. Well, number one, we just don't understand the concept. The textbook definition of forgiveness is this. It's this Webster's Dictionary, a deliberate, willful act. I just want you to hear it. Like Corrie ten Boom said, it doesn't have to be a feeling. If it's about feeling, you will never do it. Because it's not a natural feeling to let someone loose of a debt that they owe you. Even if that includes you having trouble loosing yourself, right? It's a deliberate, willful act of releasing someone of a wrong and retribution that is owed to you. A deliberate, willful act. In fact, the word forgiveness comes from an accounting term. It means to loose someone from a debt. It means to tell them that they don't owe you anymore and to never bring it up again. If you keep bringing it up, then you haven't forgiven them, right? So again, we're going to talk more about this in the weeks come. I just want you to see it. I want you to see what it is. I want you to understand the concept because it's not an easy concept. It'll be one of the toughest things you ever do, but it'll also be one of the most freeing. But not understanding the concept, it's not saying I'm sorry. Okay? We already know you're sorry. But when you think about that concept, it means to loose them and let them go. They don't ever owe you again. It's an incredible thing. It's a debt term. It's what Jesus said from the cross. The word that Jesus said from the cross, it is finished, right? Tetelestai, it is finished. It means paid in full. So what the concept is saying there is that Jesus, because remember, forgiveness is never free. Forgiveness is never free and forgiveness is not fair. What do you mean forgiveness is never free? Well, imagine the thought, okay? It's free to the recipient, but the incredible unfairness of forgiveness is the thought that the one who is wronged has to pick up the tab. What's that all about? That's not right. It's not fair. No, it's not fair, and it never will be fair. For the person who being wronged has to pick up the tab, but that is what forgiveness is. I just want you to understand it. It goes totally against, especially in our country, that's not fair, and we just turn into a bunch of whining children, right? By the way, my children don't ever say that to me anymore because that never works. Why? Because no, you're right, it's not. Why does it have to be fair? But it is right, is it not? Oh, it's an incredible thing. We're stretching over into other things, so I can't go there. So then just simple forgiveness. It means loosing them, but you having to pick up the tab. The bigger the debt, the more that it hurts. I've used this before, but I'll use it again. If I owe you $10 and say, hey, listen, I can't pay you, you'll say, that's fine, amen, don't worry about it. If I owe you $100 and I can't pay, and it hurts a little bit more, but you say, hey, listen, but if I owe you $100,000 and I can't pay you, that hurts. And that's just money. Believe it or not, money is the easiest thing to forgive someone for. There are a lot of other things that hurt far worse. You carry them. All of us carry them. And the closer someone is to you, the greater capacity they have to really, really injure you. But holding it close turns into things you don't want. And that will wind up causing you to be the person that you don't want to be. I can tell you, I knew it was going to be quiet. I knew it was going to be tough because the great thing about this, and they lined up to tell me last night, well, you were talking to me. No, I'm talking to everybody because it's all of us. This is something all of us face, but I'm here to tell you, I was just determined 2017, we were going to talk about living free, not just being free. You know you're free. If you're a believer or if you know anything about who Christ is, you know the freedom that he gives, but I'm not just talking about being free. I'm talking about living it. Because it really is that good. But boy, I tell you what, it can be tough getting there. Yeah, it can be tough getting there. So understanding the concept of what it means to be free, to loose them, all right? To loose them and to let them go. So understand the covenant. Number two is just simple pride. That makes sense. Now, if you want to know where we are, we're still talking about reasons why we don't forgive. Number one, we don't understand the concept. Number two, just simple pride. We'll talk about this in weeks to come, but, and I'm on that page. I'm not going to let them get away with that. I understand that piece. Number three is that we allow things to fester. This is where it gets really tough. The longer you let it go, the worse it gets. And the word fester, I love the word. My grandfather used to say it all the time. He said, if you don't take care of that, it'll fester up. And if you don't know me, if it's your first time, I'm from Tennessee, so it makes more sense then. But when you think about that thought, fester, what does it mean to fester? Well, it's a wound. And when it's allowed, uncared for, it grows a lot worse. Let me give you a reference. Let me give you an illustration. I used to play football. That was just the game I played. I loved playing it. Anyway, now you do understand that football is a contact sport. All right? And so this just happened. It was in practice. And a guy came out to block me, and I hit him like you're supposed to. All right? And I got my, I got a, I guess it was the screw on his helmet, I don't know. But it gashed into my hand, okay? And there's about a 2-inch gash there. And I remember when it happened. And I looked down at it, and see, back then they didn't all come rushing out with little plastic, with little rubber gloves. And what you basically did back then was, and you just kept practicing, right? And so I kept going. And so I got in after practice. And what did I do? I looked down and go, oh, yeah, I probably need to clean that. And so I washed my hands, moved on. And the next day, I looked down at it, and it had all these little red splotchy parts around it. I need to wash my hands again. And by the third day, I couldn't close my hand. And so I went into the trainer and I said, listen, I got you. And so he said, Jeff, you let that thing go way too long. It had festered, infected. Now, if I'd taken care of it at the beginning, it wouldn't be near as painful as it is now. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so what did he do? He scrubbed it. Oh, Lord. The pain memories from scrubbing that. I still have a scar there too, but it's the pain memories. And when I got back to my dorm room, the rest of my body stayed up all night keeping my hand company as it went woom, woom. And within a few days, it had grown down until now. I don't even think about it. In fact, the scar is so faint you can hardly see it. But I found, too, what makes this subject so hard is if we've held it and we've let time go by, it's going to be more painful to take care of. Makes sense. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, right? It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Basically, you were granted forgiveness. It says here, let all bitterness. This is interesting what he's talking about. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away with you along with all malice. Be kind, tenderhearted to one another, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So I want you to understand that there's a picture there. Even when you don't understand it, I find out if we'll follow what God's called us to do, then we'll see later what it means, because it's not natural. It doesn't feel natural. It won't ever feel natural. All right, let's move on. A couple of things I want to share with you before we're done. The consequences of unforgiveness. We're going to talk a little bit more about this in weeks to come. Number one is the emotional consequences. Guys, I'm here to tell you, the effects of unforgiveness will follow you with anger and mind going to places and brooding and and if you will, even depression. But it's not just remember, there's a whole half of you. Your struggle is not forgiving others, it's forgiving you. Therefore, the self-hatred kicks in. The bitterness toward who you are. When you're treated poorly, you think you deserve it. Guys, I want you to understand, that's just as destructive as the other side. Because if God has forgiven, you are forgiven. Whether you've accepted it or not. Whether you would forgive you also. And how can you not forgive what God has told you to forgive? And that includes yourself. So it makes sense. Number two is relationships. Guys, I'm here to tell you, forgiveness is mandatory if you want to have any relationship in your life. If you want to be a good parent, I'm here to tell you, those little children that live with you are going to need your forgiveness. Right? Unless you had a perfect child. And you don't. We were just talking about that illustration of that little girl who got her mom's iPhone, and while her mom was asleep, got her thumb. And she was only six. And she opened it and ordered a whole lot of stuff from Amazon. Did y'all hear about that? It was classic. Little sinner. I'm here to tell you, they are. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You didn't have to teach them that. But I'm here to tell you, if you're going to have relationships in your life, and the biggest one is your spouse, if you don't learn to forgive, you will not have a marriage that either lasts long or that will be healthy. It's just not possible. Why? Because the person you marry is not perfect. Not like you are. And so you got this picture. I'm here. I can't tell you how important this is. I have found that unforgiving people are very lonely people. Because if you get hurt and don't forgive, then you will isolate yourself and say, I'm not going to go there. I'm not opening myself up to anybody else ever again. And you become this isolated, lonely person, which is where we've gotten in this culture. We say things over texts and emails that we wouldn't dare say in person. And you wound others and not even know that you're doing it. I'm here to tell you, it's an incredible time in which to live, but it's also very important, this concept of what we're talking about today. So I don't think I have to go into the relationship. Number three is the physical. They say that those who live with unforgiveness, you can just about chop 10 years off your life. Because God did not create you and your body to live with unforgiveness. It's like throwing sand into an engine block. And it may not bother you at first, but over time it'll grind. It's incredible how it works. Number three, and this is where I have to get to and I have to close, is the whole thought of overcoming unforgiveness. We're going to talk about this in weeks to come, okay? A couple of weeks. This will probably be 3 weeks, maybe four. I just want to go here long enough to where we get there. I just want you to experience a little taste of what Corrie Ten Boom says when she reached out her hand against someone who'd wronged her so terribly and said, I forgive you. And the amazing impact that it had in her life. That was, it was a one-time thing. She said she struggled with what she did. Because then afterwards, her old voices started coming back up in her brain saying, how could you let him off for what he did? You know, and then it comes back. And then the battle inside begins, right? If you know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. So then you have this, again, this picture of how do we do this? Well, first of all, you have to understand God's forgiveness for you. Colossians chapter 2. This will be the last verse I share with you, Dave. Chapter 2, verse 13. All right, go ahead and put it up. It says, and you who were dead, trespasses is just another word for sin. Okay, you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, which means the sinful nature that lives in you, God has made you alive together with him. Alive together with him. That's why I talked about what it meant to be a church, a body. We were made alive together. We were not made alive separate. We were made alive together. Right? God is made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with all its legal demands. Then he set aside and he nailed it to the cross. So you have this picture of your forgiveness. Remember that forgiveness is never free, never has been free. As I talked to you earlier, forgiveness is one of those unnatural feelings because the person who is wronged has to pay for it. But that's the picture of who Christ is. That it is finished at the cross means that the debt's been paid. That is, I've paid for it. So now you understand this concept. And you have to understand what it means and what it means for you. We'll talk more about it next week. But he goes on to say, disarm the rulers, that is, the things that hold us enslaved and authorities, and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So not only do you have to understand that, but it also helps, and this is where I'll close. I found that the ability, because my problems naturally, just sharing with you a little bit about myself. My problems naturally are, if you hit me, then I'm going to hit you twice. Just so you won't do it again, right? That's just my mentality in the old person. But when I've understood, when I was 21 years old and I understood who Christ was, when I put my faith and trust in him and I understood his forgiveness for me, it was one of the most incredibly freeing things. But then he had to really start working on me, bringing across my path, okay, people. And I'm here to tell you, you want a real hard thing is when God starts convicting you to seek forgiveness from others you've wronged. Oh, there ain't anything worse that the flesh in me hates than going up to somebody you've wronged. We don't even want to admit we've wronged them today, right? Well, if you hadn't, we come up with all excuses in the book. But I learned, God began to show me forgiveness through the years. But here's the one thing that really helped me in understanding this whole thought of forgiveness is keeping in touch with who Christ is and what he did for me. Let me give you for instance. It's called gaining perspective. Perspective is an amazing thing. It's real easy for people to throw out judgments and to throw out, you know, advice. I don't listen to a whole lot of advice unless it's from someone that has not just knows about it, but has learned it. That's why I respect somebody like a Corrie Ten Boom. To me, if you want to know about forgiveness, learn from someone who had to really face it. And there's more you can learn from them than anybody who studies it in a book. Don't get me wrong, studying in a book is good. I did a whole lot of it. But give me the person who's taken what they've learned in the book and put it into practice. That was her. Anyway, gaining perspective is an incredible thing. Let me give you an illustration. I heard this story. I don't know if it's true or not, but it doesn't really matter. But I heard the story of a family that lived in a rural setting. And there was this little boy. He was a middle schooler, 11, 12 years old. And there was a mom and dad, and then there was a grandfather. And the grandfather was both mentally and physically handicapped. And so he took a lot of care. A lot of chores had to be done in order to take care of a whole lot that was going on to take care of their grandfather. And so the little boy had a lot of chores he had to do, not only being in a rural setting, but also because of the needs of his grandfather. And so finally, the boy got sick of it, right? He just got sick of it day after day after day after day. And he goes into his mom, which was her dad, and he goes into his mom and says, I'm sick of this, all right? You take care of him, it's your father. And this is not fair, all my other friends, you know, not fair, you bring that one out. And every time you say this is not fair, you sound like a little kid. But anyway, just so you'll know that for later. But it's not fair, whatever, whatever, whatever. And his mom looked at him and said, well, let me talk to you. They went and sat down. And she began telling him a story that when they were younger, first married, she and her husband were first married. They lived next door to your grandfather and grandmother. And I had gone to your dad was at work. I'd gone to the grocery and your grandfather came over to to watch you. And he was out in the yard. You were in your crib asleep. He was out in the yard, you know, fixing in the yard, you know, doing yard work for us. And he looks up to his horror, the house is in flames. And so he goes charging in and rescues you, but because of the burns and the smoke inhalation, he was left like you see him today, physically and mentally challenged. And then she began to recount this story to this boy, he gained a new perspective, didn't he? He not only had to take care of his grandfather, what was it now? He got to. What became a chore became a privilege when you gain perspective. Guys, if you can live in the perspective of the incredible forgiveness that Christ has had for you, you will find the strength to forgive those in your life, even if they're a concentration camp guard that was responsible for your family's murder. It is a powerful concept. But she basically loosed the chains of her own prison, that all the horrors of that camp put in her, and she was free from it. Getting there was not easy, right? I just want you to get it. I want you to understand. I want you to see. It's not something I'm trying to guilt anybody into anything. I just long for us to be a free people and to let it shine, as we talked about on Christmas Eve. So as I close today, again, this is just a little more introductory. I just wanted you to see the importance of what we're going to be doing just for 2 or 3 weeks here at the front part, and want you to be a part of them. Because I'm here to tell you, it's what you're looking for. It's what you're looking for. Because freedom really is good. Right? It really is good. All right, let's all stand. We'll have a closing word of prayer. All right, so great to see you. So good to be back with you. I told you, you give me time off. And I, you know, all right, good deal. God bless you. Hey, if you're a guest with us today, which I'm probably thinking there's quite a few of you, I'm at the guest reception. It's just a little room back there. It's not formal. It's very informal. If you want to stop by and shake my hand, I would love to get a chance to meet you today. Right out the middle doors and behind the glass in the room. All right, God bless you. You guys have a great day. All right, Anthony, why don't you close this?